The natural way. The Dirt Doctor, Howard Garrett, is ready to go with the best information and advice on organic gardening and organic living. If you want to avoid the toxic life, jump right in with us. The water's fine. Here's your leader, John Howard, the Dirt Doctor Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome everybody to this last time we'll visit before Thanksgiving, so I hope you have all your plans in place and all that. Beautiful weather here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Hope it's good for you because this is the best gardening season of the year, and that's what we can talk about today. Planting, getting new beds prepared, getting soil tests taken and sent to Texas Plant and Soil Lab to get a good baseline going. And if you haven't done that and you've got some existing plantings that aren't doing quite as well as you'd like, I'd recommend that anyway. Texas Plant and Soil Labs down in Edinburgh, Texas. We'll bring you up to date a little bit more on what kind of bed preparation that I recommend. Those of you that are new to the show here, we don't recommend peat moss. We don't recommend synthetic fertilizers, and we don't recommend toxic pesticides. We recommend things that improve the health of the soil, improve the life in the soil. And we get great production. Got a few interesting things going on in my gardens. I've got several experimental gardens in my own home, which has some experimental stuff going on as well. This hour officially brought to you by Munster Milling Company, makers of Munster Natural Dog Food and Cat Food. Munster Milling is M-U-E-N-S-T-E-R. MunsterMilling.com is the website to get information. We've got a girl to help. Those of you that are members of the Organic Club of America and have your computer running, there's a picture of the gal I want to talk to you about a little bit here before we get going. By the way, jump on here, and we'll get to the phones right away this morning as soon as you're interested in talking about something. It's 1-866, the number to be with me, 1-866-444-3478. It's 866-444-DIRT, D-I-R-T in this case. We got a baby girl. Baby girl is a gorgeous 10-year-old female Labrador retriever with a heart of gold, it says here. And she does look like a sweetie. She's got a beautiful color. This sweet girl has a stunning coat and the color of deep sunset, okay. And just like that sunset, baby girl is sure to bring warmth and happiness to your life. Baby girl is a curious gal who loves to meet people, new people, and explore new places. Looks like she's hard to tell from the shot, but she's probably a pretty good size. I'd guess she's in the 60-pound range, be my guess, something like that. She's really pretty. See her under the SPCA pet adoption button on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. And we've got some good and bad news from last week. Goose is still waiting for a home. But before that, Dolly and Baxter were adopted. And we talked about them a second time last week. So thanks for that help. And take a look at baby girl on the website there. My tea this morning is, what did I do with it, is interesting. I don't know if I like it or not. It's kind of different, and I think I know why. It's yerba mate, which I use as a base a lot, which does have a little kick, has a little bit of caffeine. It's made from a yaupon holly leaf. But I put a pretty good little slug, a pretty good pinch of cocoa nibs in this morning. And then added honey at the end of the brewing time before I put it into the canister to come this morning. And it is a strange flavor, I just have to tell you. And I didn't put anything else in it. It's okay. It's just something I probably won't do again. I use cocoa nibs a lot in my coffee. In fact, coffee I had early. I usually get up and have a couple of cups of coffee that I grind myself from organic beans. And I usually put a little pinch of cocoa in the coffee. I use a French press. And by the way, I ran into somebody the other day that was talking about another product that I've got some curiosity about here, chicory. And she was talking to the people about using chicory that will give you the flavor of coffee to a degree. It's really an interesting flavor. People either love it or don't like it. It's probably not too much of a middle ground there. But it's a real good way to go if you can't do caffeine. Of course, doing a decaf coffee is another option. But chicory is really good for you. It has a lot of benefits. And those of you that are members that have your computer running, that's what the product that I'm trying right now looks like. And it is being distributed by a company called Foster Farms, fosterfarms.com. I was talking to them about possibly being involved with us at this big seminar that we're going to have in January. Been talking to quite a few people. If you get our newsletter, you've probably seen the information, and I talked about it last week on the show. We're going to have a seminar that's pretty much an all-day affair, January the 19th. It's a Saturday, and it'll be available to the members. It's going to be available to the members to either show up in person. It will be in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. It'll be in Allen, Texas, actually. They have a wonderful facility there that has all the bells and whistles so we can broadcast it on the internet and have people around the country that are members join in. It's going to be from 10 o'clock till 4. I'll be doing some of the presentations, and we're going to cover subjects across the gamut from growing edible gardens to pest control, grass-fed meat and grazing information, nutrition things like the probiotics and the recommendations that we talk about here on the show all the time. We'll have information about all kinds of different animals. But I was talking to them about coming and talking about organic growing and about this chicory. This chicory product, I haven't talked to the owner yet. My information so far is that it's pretty much grown with organic techniques. You know, chicory is a weed. It's in a couple of my books. It's in the herb book, and it's in a couple of the other plant books, I think, as well. It looks a little bit like curly dock, I guess, would be the thing that might strike you first when you see it. If you've eaten radicchio in your salad, the bitter purple part of salad, that's a chicory-type plant itself. So chicory is very, very common, and this product is made by a real simple processing, just grinding it up not making a whole lot of changes to it at all. So having that and some other kind of interesting things, we might even talk a little bit about the Haint Blue paint for painting the underside of eaves and things like that. I'll tell you what, we've had ours painted at the house now and the office as well. Several years, I don't know how many years it's been, three or four or how many, and it's remarkable how clean those areas that have been painted are from spider webs and wasp nests, which is not necessarily a good thing if you like wasps like I do. They're very beneficial, but a lot of people don't, and it's a cosmetic problem with webs being built and all kinds of nests and mud dauber things and all that being built on the eaves of houses. If you do Haint Blue, and we've got a past newsletter about it if you want to learn about it before the seminar, we'll talk about it in a little bit more detail then and see if we can get somebody to give us a little bit more technical information. What we think now is it simply fools birds and insects from coming in and building there because they think it's the sky. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. Anybody listening that might have a little bit different angle on it, be glad. We're always open to your suggestions and comments, pro and con, and all that kind of thing. But that's one of the things we're going to talk about. Those of you that are members, be free to you. You can join by showing up at the event. You can join there. You can join before time and get all the other benefits of being a member of the Organic Club of America. The newsletter, if you're new to hearing about that, it's free. It's a weekly newsletter that we send out by email, usually covers only one subject at a time. And got a lot of people taking it and enjoying it. We get a lot of feedback on it, so I'm glad glad people are liking it. We will continue it. It comes out at various times during the week, depending on when we get it done. To get it, all you have to do is send us your email address. You can fill out the form that's on dirtdoctor.com, or you can just send us an email to info@dirtdoctor.com. Info@dirtdoctor.com, and you'll receive the free newsletter there. You can see the past ones by going to dirtdoctor.com and looking at it there. Give me a call, 866-444-3478.
Tired of poor-performing crops, gardens, or lawns? Texas Plant and Soil Lab offers you the most accurate and thorough soil nutrition test in the industry. Our special method is accurate for every soil type and in all areas of the country. The quality of the water you use for irrigation is also critical to the health of your soil and plants. We can provide you with a complete analysis and corrective recommendations for your water. Go to AskThePlant.com today to see useful information and a full description of our services. That's AskThePlant.com or call 956-383-0739.
Well, you've heard me talk about the dog food company up near the Red River in Munster, Texas for some time now, and you're going to continue to because it's the best on the market. My dogs are proof. Hannah, Carmen, and Tater wouldn't eat any other dog food. They might, but I'd have to soup it up with something that tastes really good. This dog food tastes great, and it's really good for them. There are no toxic preservatives in the product and some very high-quality ingredients, including prebiotics and L-carnitine. One of the things I've noticed with my dogs eating Munster Natural is that they don't have any hip or joint problems, hardly ever, and that goes way back to many dogs that have eaten the Munster Natural. If your pet food store doesn't stock Munster Natural, ask them to contact Munster Milling at their website, munstermilling.com, about how to get the product into the stores and make the customers happy, mainly making all the pets happy. There's Munster Natural dog food and Munster Natural cat food. Again, that website is munstermilling.com.
Register today for Howard Garrett's Healthy Living and Growing Seminar. Howard is teaming up with other experts to present growing edible gardens, mosquito control that works, natural pet health, natural remedies for weeds, head lice, foot fungus, and insect bites, nutrition and health, and much more. There will be prize drawings throughout the event, so register today by going to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Healthy Living and Growing Seminar logo or call 866-444-3478. Register at dirtdoctor.com today and have a more successful 2013. Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com. To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com. Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust, if necessary, with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to dirtdoctor.com. Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, with you. Number to be with me here is 866-444-3478. Speaking of the newsletter, the last one we sent out was the about the two books that I've talked about on the air, and I was getting quite a few questions about it, so I put them on the newsletter. One, The Art of Fermentation, which is all about fermenting food, various kinds of foods. You can ferment almost anything, and it's a great book. It's really one that I recommend. And the other one was Wheat Belly, and Wheat Belly has certainly piqued some interest because it's such a dramatic recommendation to stop eating all wheat, all grains, or at least cut the diet back substantially in those categories. We're going to be talking to both of those authors, and maybe they will be involved to some degree. And if they're not, we'll have somebody talking about those two subjects for sure at the seminar on January the 9th. In the meantime, if you want information, you're not going to be able to be around at the seminar, or it'd probably be good on both subjects to do both, because there's a whole lot of information there and a lot of details about both those subjects. The two books are available. We don't sell those books. I've had a couple, two or three people ask me about that. In fact, Bob Webster brought it up on his show yesterday in San Antonio, and we just said the best thing to do is just do a search. And if you go to bookfinder.com or something like that, you can find them both. The local bookstores may or may not have them in stock, but you can for sure find them online. A little bit of interesting news for us. Of course, we've been talking about this for a long time, but rotenone has finally been officially prohibited. It says that rotenone was voted to be put on the list of prohibited materials as of January 2016. So it's still not official till then, I guess. While it's available in the United States at garden centers, it can only be legally used by home gardeners and not on food that would be sold to someone else. Man. Once the stock of this material is used up, it will no longer be sold at all due to research that shows exposure to this material has a correlation with Parkinson's disease. Now, you know, when we come up with something that's definitive, which we also have on several chemical herbicides and things like that, seems like we could get them off the market a little bit quicker, doesn't it? But not so much. It says that it is currently used on NOP organic crops grown in other countries, most notably bananas in South America. There is no residue present on the bananas, but it does put the applicators of this material at risk. Grower representatives came to the NOSB meeting stating that they did not have sufficient alternatives to this material, and they did not want to see it banned in NOP organic production. The January 2016 date is meant to give these growers time to develop those alternatives. Man, we've been talking about it for 20-something years that it's unacceptable in an organic program. It's amazing that it takes that long to get something taken off. And this is basically an organic product. It's an organic product that we don't accept. We don't recommend, kind of like pyrethrum. We put pyrethrum in the same category. But it says the National Organic Standards Board, NOSB, held its public meeting October the 15th through the 18th, 2012, in Providence, Rhode Island. A complete transcript of this meeting will eventually be posted on the National Organic Program, NOP, website. Okay, so much for that. I got a note that I need to tell people. Apparently, we're getting questions coming in asking about Haint Blue as a brand or something like that. It's of the paint. It's not a brand. It's not the name of a paint or anything else. It's just a concept. Haint Blue, we put in our newsletter, and if you go to the newsletter, you can read all about the details about it. There's a dark blue and a light blue. Haint Blue, I think there's a little bit of controversy about which one works the best. I think the one we use is kind of a mid-range, but it's kind of a baby powder blue is what it is. We put a couple of chips colors in the newsletter, and if you do a search on it, you can find more information about it. It was originally used in around Savannah, Georgia, I think, by freed slaves who thought that it would keep the ghosts away, the haints, the spirits away. And they apparently somebody used it and saw that the insects stayed away, so they said, well, maybe it'll help with the haints as well. And that's where the name came from. And there's something to it. Without any doubt, there's something to it. And it's a pleasant color anyway. You'll find some houses, a lot of houses in the Deep South, where they painted, especially a frame house, where they painted all the trim, blue, the Haint Blue. And in some cases, they painted the bulk of the house the Haint Blue color. But where it really seems to work the best is where you have eaves and overhangs and porches. You paint the roof this Haint Blue color. And it is amazing how clean those areas stay compared to not doing it. And if you want to set up a test, do half the house and not half the house, that'd be a good thing to show off. I'd love for you to do that. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. We'll go to the phones as soon as I come back from this break. 1-866-444-3478. The website is dirtdoctor.com.
With SRN News, I'm Jeremy House in Washington. President Obama's in Thailand to begin a quick swing through Southeast Asia, including a first-ever presidential visit to Myanmar. At a news conference in Bangkok, Mr. Obama described the visit as an acknowledgement of the democratic transition underway in Myanmar, but said his visit is not an endorsement of the country's government. Palestinian militants have fired at least one more long-range rocket at Tel Aviv, the fourth day in a row, which the Israeli heartland has come under fire. The owner of an oil platform, the that caught fire in the Gulf of Mexico says divers will continue to search for one remaining missing worker. Divers hired by the rig's owner recovered one body in the waters near the site Saturday evening. Investigators in Texas say railroad warning signals were already active when a parade float filled with wounded veterans began to cross the tracks and was struck by a freight train. Four veterans of Iraq and Afghanistan were killed. More details at SRNNews.com.
Do you feel tired, worn down? Is it getting harder to keep your energy levels up during the day? If you want to know what lasting energy can feel like, then try Magna Boost. It's simple. Your body needs key nutrients for energy. Magna Boost gives you those nutrients in a special time-released capsule. You take Magna Boost once, and you get energy from it the entire day. A cup of coffee can last a few hours. An energy shot may last through the morning. But Magna Boost will take you through the entire day and all the way home, still feeling great. See for yourself with an exclusive risk-free trial. But you have to call now, because this risk-free offer won't last long. Just call 1-800-849-7605. Feel energy that lasts and lasts and lasts. Try Magna Boost risk-free. Just call 1-800-849-7605. That's 1-800-849-7605. Call 1-800-849-7605.
With SRN Sports, I'm Patrick Frost. Memphis continues its sizzling start to the NBA season. The Grizzlies got 20 points from Mike Conley on the way to a 94-87 win over Charlotte. That's the 8th straight win for Memphis, which is 8-1. It's the first time in the franchise's 17-year history that they've ever topped the league with the best record. Manu Ginobili had 20 points to lead San Antonio to a 126-100 victory over Denver. Jason Terry scored a game-high 20 in Boston's 107-89 victory over Toronto. Utah kept Washington winless with an 83-76 victory. The Wizards became only the second team in NBA history to start 0-8 in back-to-back seasons. Coach Randy Whitman was asked if injuries have led to the Wizards' bad start.
That's an excuse. You know, we got enough here to win games. We do. And we got to believe that.
The LA Clippers beat Chicago 101-80 to improve to 7-2. Miami went 8-3 with a 97-88 win over Phoenix. O.J. Mayo scored 19 in Dallas's 103-95 victory over Cleveland. Milwaukee topped New Orleans 117-113. This is SRN Sports. Top 25 play saw Deshaun Thomas score 25 points and grab 10 boards. And number 4 Ohio State beat Rhode Island 69-58. 17th-ranked Memphis connected on all 8 of their free throws in the final minute to escape with a 65-54 win over Samford. 18th-ranked UNLV beat Jacksonville State 77-58. It was 20th-ranked Notre Dame 78, BYU 68. After the top two teams of the BCS lost, Kansas State 52-24 at Baylor, and Oregon falling at home to Stanford in overtime 17-14. Who will be the new number one and number two? Third-ranked Notre Dame is now the lone unbeaten team of the race for the BCS title game after thumping Wake Forest 38-0. Wake Forest coach Jim Gobe was asked just how good the Irish are.
We've played 3 top 10 teams, all of them great teams, Clemson, Florida State, and Notre Dame. I can't imagine anybody, from what I saw today, playing any better than Notre Dame.
While the 11-0 Irish are expected to vault into number 1 in the BCS, Alabama could be number 2. With SRN Sports, I'm Patrick Foss.
All righty, Howard, back with you. 866-444-3478. Dave's been holding, so I'm going to go ahead to Fort Worth and talk to Dave. Hey, Dave.
Hey, good morning, Howard. I have a Mexican palm that's probably 8 feet tall, depending on how you measure it, about 6 inches in diameter. And I want to move it from underneath the eave of the house out to a better location. What advice do you have for that? Like, do I trim it before or after or leave it alone? Or what should I do?
How long have you had it, Dave?
Oh, it's been in the ground probably 5 years.
Okay. They're really easy to move just about any time. You can move them in the dead heat of the summer, and they do well. So moving them now is kind of a piece of cake. You don't need to trim anything off of it other than something that would make it a little easier to handle. Move it to the new location, and it's one of the few plants that we say that you may have to stake or prop up with, you know, 2x4s or something for a while because they just don't have any roots hardly at all. There's not a big root mass to hold them up.
All right.
And that's about the only thing that you need to worry about. Do you know offhand which Mexican plum it is? A Mexican palm it is? The reason
it's got spiky large leaves that are maybe 2 feet across in some cases.
Well,
it just, and they occasionally kind of lay down instead of pointing up. They lay down. That's when I trim them. And gosh, I sure don't.
Okay. Well, I did. So I was trying to remember where I did it. I think I can't remember if I did it for the Dallas Morning News or somebody recently. There's two different kinds of their Washington fan palms. One of them's called Mexican fan palm, and the other one is called California fan palm, I think, or vice versa. Anyway, if you look up, you can do a search on dirtdoctor.com. We probably have that info there now, too, or just in general. You'll find that the one that is Washingtonia fallifera, and it tells you how to identify the two different ones. It is much, much more cold hardy than the one that is called Robusta. That's what you want. And the only reason I tell you that is it'll give you some good background if we have some really, really cold weather about whether you ought to try to wrap it and cover it or not.
Okay.
And they look very, very similar.
Yeah, it's been doing so fine in the, you know, for the 5 years. So.
Well, you may have the right one, but it'd be good, you know, just to learn to know for sure.
Okay, thanks, Howard.
Okay, appreciate the call. And like transplanting any plant, I recommend just backfilling with the soil that comes out of the hole. Drench some Garrett Juice Plus on at the end, maybe mycorrhizal fungus product, and that's about all you need to do. There's no real trick to moving palms at all. They are tough.
Okay, thanks, Howard.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
And I'll look that up. I'm getting some questions on Facebook that I want to talk about, too. And by the way, a lot of you can go there and kind of shortcut some of the things I bring up, because if you go to my Facebook, Howard Garrett or The Dirt Doctor, you can see pictures of some of these things, like the recent newsletter. The pictures of those two books is there, and you can find it real easily. And then the logo for the Organic Club of America is there. Learn about the event and all that. And a couple of the specific questions that are coming in there, I'll work in, because some of them relate to what I wanted to talk about here anyway. Wayne in Temple is next. Hey, Wayne.
How you doing? And happy Thanksgiving to you.
Well, same to you.
I have a friend that is in the commercial tomatoes, you know, hothouses.
Uh-huh.
He has about 4,000 or 5,000 tomatoes, and he got out wiped out by white flies. How can he prevent that?
Well, a little background. Do you know what kind of program he's using now? Does he do organic at all, or is it just strictly chemical?
No, I don't know that much, but, you know, he grows good tomatoes, and I'd like to try and get him on organic, but I was just wondering if there was anything that he could, well, I guess you say, while I'm talking to you, you might just suggest some stuff, and I'm just telling him.
Sure. Well, it's a lot easier to control white flies with the organic program. That's why I brought it up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you use, if you talk to him about the overall program, and developing the health, the biological activity in the soil, which comes from the organic fertilizers and the amendments that we use, you know, the dry molasses mm-hmm. and the cornmeal and all those things. Having a healthy plant, having healthy soil and having healthy root systems, it gives the plant a very powerful resistance to all kinds of pests, and that includes whiteflies. Now, when they're there, I tell you what I've done in the past. We had them 1 year severely on a gardenia that was in a pot and in stress, and you know that happens a lot when they've been fed heavily with chemical fertilizers, and you get them from the garden center and that sort of thing. Or it can be caused by something else, watering
now,
too
he
much.
He has all his plants in pots. I forgot to tell you that
they're all above. They're not in the ground. They're in pots.
No,
okay.
They're above ground in pots.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, that makes it a little tougher. It's easier to keep plants healthy if they're down in the soil, even in a greenhouse uh-huh. situation. So you might even throw that out to him as well, because some people that have excellent production of tomatoes commercially grow them in the ground in the greenhouses. So that's uh-huh. that's another thing. But anyway, getting the soil healthy, and I'd recommend you, the same thing I suggested early in the show here, is to get his soil in the containers tested by Texas Plant and Soil Lab, just like you would test the soil in the ground.
Uh-huh.
And they do the carbon dioxide extraction method, and they also give organic recommendations. So it would be an excellent first step for him to do. on our gardenia and the other few plants. I've had whiteflies pop up on hibiscus a little bit in the past that got in stress. And I tell you what I have done, and I'll tell you some other possibilities too. What I use is Garrett juice as a base spray, because if you're going to be spraying, you might as well get the, you know, the foliar feeding benefit out of it, and then you add the thing that will control the pest to the spray. And what I added in my property was a product called Bio Wash, B-I-O, capital W-A-S-H, Bio Wash. It's a fancy soap. It's a fatty acid soap. It works well. I do know professional growers that have used Lemon Joy, believe it or not, kind of the same way, and it controls a lot of pests in a greenhouse very, very well, including the whiteflies. Now, if he's a commercial guy, neither one of those, here's where the rub comes in a little bit. Neither one of those products are actually labeled for that use. Now, he can put them in the spray and use them as a cleaning material, and that's basically kind of what they're doing. I think it's helping create a clean surface on the leaves, and it's controlling those guys. Both of those products, though, when they actually hit the insect, it actually kills. The labeled products, they can look at the Avenger products. The Avenger products are delaminating or orange oil based, and they are EPA registered and perfectly legal to use, and may even work better. They're a good way to go. You can see information, technical information, and then pricing, the whole thing on the naturalorganicwarehouse.com site. Some of the garden centers, not enough of them yet. We're trying to get more and more of the retail stores to handle that line and some other lines, ICT products. You might make a note of that. He could look into that line of products. They have some excellent pest control products that are organic and EPA registered and all that. ICT.
ICT, okay. Uh-huh.
And that's how you do it. You use the overall organic program, get a good soil test, get a good baseline, build the soil with organic fertilizers and dry molasses and cornmeal and all the things that you know we recommend for beds outside. Adapt your fertility program to the soil test results that you get back, and then use the gentle sprays to kill those pests that pop up. If you have a heavy infestation of white flies or spider mites or spotted cucumber beetle or whatever it is, you know, that's really concentrated, it means something's just really out of balance and you need to get it back in balance.
May I ask you a question?
Sure.
What about trichogramma wasp?
Well, trichogramma wasps are wonderful, and they control a whole bunch of things, but they won't do you much good, at least that I know of, on whiteflies. They will help with a lot of other pests. They'll help with green worms, tobacco hornworm, any kind of a caterpillar. In other words, any kind of a lepidopterous insect, moths and butterflies are in the, you know, lepidopterous. Well, they won't really kill butterfly eggs. They kill moth eggs, though. Which are, you know, kin to two butterflies. People are confused about that, I think, and ask me about it quite a bit. Why the trichogramma wasp won't lay an egg on a butterfly egg and kill it when it will on a moth egg. And it's just one of those balances, checks and balances of nature. I think that physically the butterfly eggs are bigger and have a thicker skin. And the tiny little microscopic wasp can't oviposit the egg into the egg, or doesn't want to for some reason. It just doesn't happen. And so worrying about the butterflies is not an issue. But it's a great tool. Won't help with whiteflies, though, that I know of.
Okay. All right. Well, I thank you very much, and y'all have a very wonderful Thanksgiving, and I like listening to your show.
Well, you too, Wayne. Thanks for calling.
You bet.
Appreciate Goodbye. It. Let's see. Caller wanted to know if you... Let's see, get all the buttons pushed correctly here. Wanted to know if you had heard results, beehive died off, mosquito. You know, that's a good question. Brandon Pollard had sent, I assume that he sent some dead bees for testing. In fact, Texas Organic Research Center was going to pay for that testing, and I have not heard those results. So we'll try to track him down and see what's going on there. He's been extremely busy trying to get back settled down from all the airplane spraying and everything, you know, and getting his bees back in good shape. By the way, there's an open line for you right now, too, at 866-444-3478. Our beehives that we have at the office in our experimental gardens have done extremely well, and Brandon used them during the fair. While the State Fair of Texas was on, they had an exhibit there. Texas Bee Guild, Honeybee Guild, and they got the bees from our hives, and he recycled them. I don't know how often he did it. I don't know if it was every day or every few days from our hives. They're doing very well. And it's interesting what plants are really attracting the honeybees. I wanted to talk about that a little bit. Open line, jump on at 866-444-3478. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. The website is dirtdoctor.com. Again, if you want our free newsletter, if you want to find out about joining the Organic Club of America, it's all right there for you on the homepage. I'll be back. Don't go away.
Staying healthy and building immunity begins in your gut, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. So keeping your digestive tract healthy is imperative for ideal health. I'm Dr. Fred Pescatore, author and science advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. And there's no better way to improve your digestive health than taking a high-quality probiotic. I recommend taking Dr. O'Hara's every day to rev up the immune system because it has carefully selected strains of beneficial bacteria that work synergistically to maximize health and improve immunity. His exclusive formula delivers live, beneficial bacteria that are easily absorbed and provides optimal digestive support, boosts immunity, and increases energy through better absorption of nutrients. Backed by over 25 years of scientific research, I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
One of the places you can go to buy Crazy Water is at the Crazy Water store in Mineral Wells. This is where the Crazy Well is and where you can purchase Crazy Water and many related products. Crazy Water is what I drink, and there are several reasons why you should too. Other waters can't add naturally occurring minerals to their water, only synthetic ones. Crazy Water's high level of natural minerals are more readily absorbed by your body than synthetic minerals. Crazy Water is also a natural sports drink without all the artificial flavors and sugars. Crazy Water drinkers love it because it's real and it's an easy means of hydration and electrolyte replenishment. Crazy Water's been making people feel good since 1881. Go to drinkcrazywater.com and click on Find Us to locate a store in your area. If your favorite store is not carrying Crazy Water, click on the red Get Crazy banner ad on the top of the store location page to print a page that you can give to your store so they can get Crazy Water for you. That's drinkcrazywater.com.
Everyone is talking environmental issues and going green. Natural organic gardening and landscaping are important parts of this movement. Some organic proponents only say to stop using the chemicals. Howard Garrett, in the highly acclaimed Organic Manual, explains in detail what to do instead. His what to do is the organic method. He recommends stopping the use of toxic chemical pesticides and synthetic fertilizer, but goes on in great detail about the practical alternatives. This is one of the few gardening books effective for use coast to coast and border to border. The best kept secret of all, uncovered in the Organic Manual, is that the organic program is better in every way. Whether it's growing beautiful landscaping or delicious healthy food crops, the Organic Manual explains bed preparation, planting, pest control, and compost making. It also covers pet management and natural living advice. Purchase the Organic Manual in bookstores everywhere. Also available in independent garden centers, nurseries, hardware, and other fine stores. Go to dirtdoctor.com to purchase or to find a store near you.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
The Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas has been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building products longer than anyone in the organic business. They have quality fertilizers and soil amendments both in liquid and dry form. All of Medina's products work by stimulating soil biology to help all plants. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, you can feel comfortable knowing that you're spending your dollars wisely on Medina products. They have a brand new fertilizer that's going to be on the market pretty soon. I'll keep you posted on that. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is made by Medina, and it's available in sizes from quarts to large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. Their website is MedinaAg.com. You'll find the Medina label at hardware stores, nurseries, garden centers, feed stores, any place that sells organic products. The Medina products are always available from NaturalOrganicWarehouse.com.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way, how it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to DirtDoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you, 866-444-DIRT. Ron in Central Florida next up. Hey, Ron.
How are you, Howard?
Doing well. Thank you.
I wanted to find out what you thought of neem oil as a pesticide.
Well, I think it is good if it's a good quality neem, Ron. It's a good question because there are basically two categories of neem products out there, those that work and those that doesn't work, that don't work. And what you need to look for is some backup about them and – the ones that we know work are, well, there's one that's a liquid called bio-neem that seems to be very good, and there's a dry product that seems to be the most consistent, best quality called Azasol, 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 and it's a dry product, dry wettable powder. The rub on the ones that are not very good are the most common ones that are out there, and there's two problems with them. One is there's not a lot of active ingredient in the product to begin with, and in several cases, now I can't name just every single brand name, but it's fairly common. There's not a lot of power in them to begin with, and number two, they don't have any shelf life. And if they've been on the shelf any length of time at all and you buy one of those products, you're not going to get much out of it other than kind of a little bit of an anti-feeding result out of it. It's not going to be very powerful at controlling the pests.
Yeah, the one I'm using doesn't seem to have a lot of power. I've had white flies and it doesn't have a lot of effect.
Yeah, that's what you're running into. It's something that I just discovered about a year ago, because a friend of mine who's an arborist up in Boston helped to bring this Azasol product on the market and taught me about the big difference. Azasol is not inexpensive, but it works. That's the big deal about it. And it's being used on spraying and controlling insects, but it's also being used by Peter Wiles, his name, by Peter and other arborists, some of the arborists in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, as a matter of fact, Moortree and others, injecting it into trees that have really serious problems getting
well, is there anything on your site about neem oil and the various products?
Yeah, if you go to the library and under neem in the library, everything's in alphabetical order. And if you go to the NOW website, naturalorganicwarehouse.com, you can get all the technical information about azosol right there. I don't know if bio-neem is listed there or not, but you can do a search for it and find it also.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Howard.
Thanks, Ron. That's a good question. Right. Let's go to Rome, Georgia, and talk to Peggy. Hey, Peggy.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have a question. I have turned my flower beds around my house into garden spots.
Good for you.
And, yeah, I loved it. I need to pressure wash the house now. And what I want to know is if it's done now, will that Clorox affect my beds, or should I attempt to cover those up?
Have you been somewhat organic in the
past? Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. In my opinion, Clorox shouldn't even be on the market, much less be used around the house. I think it's a far too toxic material. People wanting to clean, even around me sometimes, would like to use it. Now, I don't think it's necessary. Inside, you can use Bonami or something like that. Outside, to clean the house, the thing that works the better anyway is orange oil or D-limonene.
Okay.
And you mix it at about, up to 2 ounces per gallon of water. Don't go above that because it'll burn your plant foliage. In fact, if it's by itself with water, it can even burn a little bit sometimes on tender things at 2 ounces.
Well, I don't
ounces.
Have anything planted now. I'm not doing the winter garden.
Okay. Well, 2 ounces per gallon of water, water blasted, you know, with a power washer.
Right.
You'll be very impressed with how it works.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Appreciate the call.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
And stay away from Clorox, everybody. Bleach. The Clorox may be coming out with some non-toxic stuff. They may be doing some hydrogen peroxide. And by the way, that's kind of an alternative. And you could use, instead of orange oil, it's a, you know, an oxidizing kind of thing. It's a wonderful product. It wouldn't be quite as powerful as the orange oil. It might be possible. It might be a benefit to mix the two together. Mixing orange oil and hydrogen peroxide, though, is something you need to be careful with. You might create a science experiment that you don't really want there. Richard in Colorado Springs is next. Hey, Richard.
Good morning, Mr. Guerra. How's my favorite Texan?
I'm doing pretty well. Enjoying this great weather here. How is it there?
It's chilly, but it's beautiful.
That's good.
Anyway, I told you a call screener. We got squirrels eating up these my neighbor's lilac bushes, and it's only one set of lilac bushes. They're not touching anything else. And it's not a Chinese lilac. It's one of the American brands because it's got the thicker limbs and stuff on it.
We're about out of time. Let me give you an answer quick, and I'll put you on hold if you had something else, Richard. When a squirrel or any rodent is eating this plant and not that plant over there, it means that the one's being eaten is in stress. And what happens when it's in stress, the plant will concentrate sugars in an attempt to try to make heal itself. So figure out what the stress is. It's probably too deep in the ground, or the drainage is not so good there, or something like that. There is some reason that the plant is not as healthy as it should be. When you get that fixed, it'll probably get the rodent out of the way. I'll talk to you off there if you had something else. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. Next hour coming up. Don't go away. It's 866-444-3478 to be with me.